And welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy.
Were you frustrated by Monday night?
Well, mixed emotions, because this is the more advanced measure. It was an expected shots win by 20 points. Now, that was helped a bit by the fact we had a late surge after the game was over, but still we had more inside 50s. And more time in forward half, not by a lot, but yeah, frustrating. Little bit of validation though that the Rucks probably decided the game, so that makes me feel slightly better. But unfortunately, we weren't on the right side of that decision. But yeah,
I know. It did test the proposition about how much. What's the difference in resources that you can devote to the Ruck and still win? So. If you have, roughly $1.4 million difference in the salary of your two frontline ruckmen, that counts for quite a bit.
Yeah, and, we had quite a lot of our salary cap either injured or perhaps a bit below their best in the case of Pressier. But, look, it was a frustrating game, which I think was the point you're going to. We were brave. The Jack Renaissance has been everything that we hoped it would be. We had fighting spirit.
Oh, but
yeah.
It was great. Noah Cumberland's first quarter. Noah Cumberland's first quarter. We do need to talk him. How hard we battled against, despite the enormous advantage in the ruck, that we managed to finish ahead at center clearance was a pretty huge effort. Yeah, and missing Tom Lynch as well, playing against Lever and May. There were some pretty enormous odds, and yet.
Yeah, so we went out on our shields, lots of positive moments. The Taranto was great. For the first time for us, he got the most coaches' votes. His stats were off the charts. His defensive pressure acts on the champion data measure were. As good as the best of Jack Ram, but he also got a ton of the ball. He was involved in everything. Jacob Hopper was great for the first half. He was one of the most influential players on the team. Unfortunately, faded a bit in the third quarter, but there was heaps of good stuff. And it looked like Mansell was going to be productive when he kicked that brilliant early goal.
Dusty had 25 disposals and 5 shots at goal.
And Dusty's like that's a lot of disposals when you're only getting I think he had was did 14% of center clearances, which is probably 3 or something like that. But he's getting a lot of the ball. He's getting it the hard way forward of the ball.
Yeah, even less, I think too.
I thought his defensive efforts were noticeably better than they were in his absolute prime. Jack, as previously mentioned, was great. I thought going to Sampson, him one out, look them getting those clear clearances when they were grabbing the ball out of the ruck, they were mostly done to Miller, but a bit to him. You know, that probably swung the game. That was really, they got some key clearances that led to goals. But aside from that, I thought he rucked pretty well against these guys. And actually, by just the aggregate numbers, they didn't lose by that much. Like it was just the key losses that really hurt us. But
no, there was about 5 times where the Melbourne player picked either Grundy or Gawn picked the ball straight out of the ruck. So yeah, look, it's impressive. The clearances were as close as they were under the circumstances.
Yeah, if they could just, you take those away, like the rest was pretty good. And that moment when the ooh, hello Sailor moment for me with Samson Ryan was in the fourth quarter when he outmarks May in a pretty key contest and under a high ball. And May just couldn't handle his height. Now, unfortunately, he missed the shot. You know, everything, you know, it was one of the absolute crucial moments of the game. But the mere fact he did it, like that was, oh, that really got my attention. And his marking was good overall after
it was impressive. Discussion about Look, it last my... week. I know. Look, I was actually almost as impressed with his very first centre bounce where he jumped into Gorn and tapped the ball over the top of literally a 209-centimetre human being. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, look, there's heaps there. Unfortunately, he's just not ready for... Well, I don't know. Was it even his fault? Like, was it the... I think you put this to me off air, but Ben Miller is always better in theory than he is in actuality. And, like, he does a lot of good stuff, but, yeah, against $1.4 million worth of ruck, as you said, they're just not... They weren't quite good enough on the day. Anyway, that's...
Oh, no, 1.4 was the difference. I think it's...
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I was wondering. That seemed a bit low. I thought you were counting the fact that Collingwood were paying some of Grundy's contract.
No. I think 1.7, 1.8.
When you count the total.
It's clearly the most expensive ruck duo in the league.
Flossie had an interesting game. You know, by a lot of the numbers, he was quite good, but he had two absolute howlers. And so...
Yeah, ton of intercepts. Yeah.
So people are feeling that... So he messed up one disposal. His disposal efficiency was 95% for the game. It's just everyone remembers that one disposal.
Yep.
You go.
Well, and he had one where he slipped over. The holding the ball was... Wasn't particularly impressed by that. Where he slipped over and Chandler got the goal, actually, it took me a little while to realise why the flashback, but it was the first goal in the 2017 grand final.
Eddie Betts, yep, had the same thought. Unfortunately, it was later this time, so didn't have time to make it back. Short made a triumphant return and was... it changed Baker's role. I thought it the theory that we've discussed on the pod that his absence have really hurt our defensive transition and was more important structurally than perhaps he got credit for. That theory, at least on the basis of one game, seems increasingly validated. Nick?
Mm. Yeah, we looked much better for having him in the team.
Yeah, sorry. Apologies to listeners. We appear to be having a bit of a delay on the call, but we'll just battle through it. Who else stood out to you? Pickett had 23, 500 metres gained. Was quite good after a quietish game the week before. Judson Clark, unfortunately, only had one touch in the last quarter, but had 16 overall, so was at least finding a bit of it. Do you want to talk about Noah Cumberland?
Look, the Judson, his disposal let him down a few times for a guy who's pretty high skilled, but he's getting himself in dangerous spots. But yeah, Noah Cumberland. Dimmer's riding him pretty hard, but I think it's because he cares.
Oh, that's interesting. I heard a similar theory from someone who's.
Last year, Shedder saying he came in.
Keep going.
Oh, that last year, Shedder saying he came in expecting a bake from the coach, and Dimmer just talked about how much he loved him, and that was when he knew he was cooked.
Yeah, I think he actually said that at a function, which I repeated. But yeah, I heard someone else say that, you know, that. He's done it to Noah Bolter as well. actually. But the Dimmer often sort of rides ones he cares about because he knows how talented they are. On the downside now, it's now been the, like, I kind of wish he hadn't done it because it'll now be something people talk about for ages. Shimbona Spirit did, who is actually excellent, and I'm full credit to him, did a bit of a video analysis, which if you just look up Shimbona Spirit on Twitter, you can see, of sort of the acts that Noah did. And, like, they're pretty, you know, that. And there might be something else that, like, Dimmer has access to chasing data and things like that, like GPS tracking data that he can't see. But actually, anything you can see with your eyes, it's certainly not drop them and never see them again territory. You know, he still kicked three goals. So I hope this narrative, he'll have to overcompensate by praising his defensive efforts in an upcoming game. But I don't think it's the full narrative. But he was really frank. Like he said basically, you know, the key, so that unfortunately the Tyler Young story, after we praised him, he's still relatively high in the AFL one and fun acts. You know, he got absolute, when Bolter was moved into the ruck, you know, that was the key moment in the game. You know, good on Dimmer for rolling the dice, but it did, you know, structurally after that, they were going through us like a hot knife through butter in the back line, and poor old Tyler got exposed a bit one on one, which was a bit of a shame after we talked him up in multiple recent pods. But I guess it's, you know, that's welcome to the AFL.
Well, yeah, look, for Cumberland, I think it was a couple of drop marks. There were a couple of sort of not applying pressure when he should have. Yeah, so, but I think Dimmer wants more and can see his potential to give more, so that's what's happening there. But yeah, Tyler Young, I thought his first three quarters were good, and we weren't scared of matching him up against really dangerous forwards. But yeah, the dam did break, unfortunately. I think Nathan Broad's back in the team this week, and yeah, wouldn't, you know, he's clearly a potential candidate to get dropped. But yeah, not to say that, you know, he's still shown a fair bit, but yeah, the cracks showed for the first time.
Learnings were made. So is there anything else? Anything else on the from the game that really sorry, I must admit, I'm short of time this week, so it's why we're maybe rushing slightly.
Through
the game review, but I am pleased that we still managed to give the Rucks their due attention, and they're going to get more too.
Well, yes, we'll get to that. Look, the Morris Rioli Jr. did a hamstring late, but I think he was probably due for a spell in the VFL anyway. Like, he's really struggled to find the ball and impact with it. So yeah, that was disappointing. But yeah, I think there is quite a bit of positives. Like that was a very good team we played against, and we really should have won. You know, as much for they're taking quite a few low percentage chances as much as us not taking ours. So yeah, it was frustrating. As much as the seniors were clearly disappointing, the VFL beating Melbourne with I think five AFL listed players was that was both unexpected and pretty fun.
Yeah, it was. It was a big surprise, and they didn't even have Sonsi. So it really credit to, I mean, it was the Jack Ross story a bit, wasn't it?
Yeah, 31 disposals, kicked a couple of goals. Dow was good as well with 26. But for me, honestly, the story is Jacob Bauer is playing really well as a key defender. He matched up on Ben Brown for a lot of the day, kept him goalless, had 21 disposals, and was really effective in the air. Like, if we didn't have Broad coming back this week, I think he'd be a real shot. I mean, he's named in the squad anyway, but yeah, he's genuinely impressed since going back.
Yeah, and good on. I haven't heard that he's got the qualities, but you know, I did like, I think someone was suggesting Steve Morris is a future senior coach based on how well he's got the VFL team playing. A very uncelebrated list. I will say Luke Teal for our team is very, very attractive. Nick, just
we've definitely got at least one mid-season draft pick, and Luke Teal trained with the seniors over summer, and he's played his second BFL senior game and done pretty well. I think, yeah, definitely one to keep an eye on.
Yes, I was actually referring to his physical attractiveness, but you made a far more erudite point.
That as well.
Nick, just a couple of other general Richmond notes I wanted to give up. Unfortunately, we've only got three more minutes. We now have a midfielder in the top 50 in the AFL rankings. Do you want to guess who it is?
Hopper?
Yep. And Toronto's continuing his record. The AFL ratings didn't particularly like his game, despite being good in all the other stats. The other thing I just to point out is the coaching moving forward experiment that we've been slightly sceptical about. It actually happened last week. You know, let people make their own judgment on his performance, but he didn't attend a single centre bounce. Played 80% of game time.
Yeah. Actually, thought he was reasonably effective. Again, there's sort of we're so bare bones in some parts of the ground. Like, it's just, you know, we've talked off air. Like, yeah, Seth Campbell's played one VFL game, and we're talking seriously about whether or not he'd be getting a game or two of seniors at the moment. Yeah, it's tough times.
Now, Nick, the Suns, which obviously we've got a much better chance of Took Miller's not there to cause us conniptions as he has in the past because he's a great player. But Witz is having an absolutely monster season, and it's probably not a coincidence that Soldo is
dominating.
Soldo is back, much to my surprise, having had an injury where he can't run, is not only named, but he's named in the starting, he's named as a starting ruck.
First ruck, yeah. For his 50th game, you must be excited.
I'm very excited, Nick. He's already had 1,000 hit outs. He's kicked 16-8. Big approval for you. 385 disposals. A flag. Look, it's been special, but I'm stoked to have him back. I still can't believe we're bringing him back, rushing him into the ones. But I think that's a pretty indication, if Dimmer hadn't already said it in the press conference, that he feels pretty strongly about the needing to get more solidity in the rucks. But yeah, really looking forward to getting the big fella back. I suspect he's a good chance of getting subbed too.
Well, it's Jared Witz. It's he's a genuinely elite ruckman, and they are such a strange team. Like, they are third in clearances per game, second in clearance differential, and yet 16th in disposals per game. And, you know, they're uncontested ball winning, despite guys like Noah Anderson, or even, God bless him, Brandon Ellis and Lockie Weller. Like, they just, yeah, they've struggled on the outside. Matt Rowell is this just unique contested beast, you know, top five in the AFL in clearance and tackles, but yeah, just does not win the ball outside the contest at all. And yeah, they're king up forward is clearly the a major risk there as well. You know, five goals on the weekend, supported by Marbs and Lukosius. So yeah, maybe we keep Tyler Young and the team and just play more tall defenders because we're going to need them.
Yeah, and obviously it's the Docklands, which Richmond supporters will be stoked to travel out to. Actually, it was a really impressive crowd on Monday night, considering it's not the prime spot for families. But the line is currently 17.5 points, which is, you know, we were 23-point underdogs against Melbourne, for what that's worth. But, yeah, hopefully we'll turn it around this week because, God, we need to win.
Yeah, look, we've our draw. None of the teams we've played so far have a losing record. Like the Suns really are an opportunity for a win, and yeah, I think we've got to take it. I'm Nick.
I'm Andy.
We're Richmond Tiger Talk.
It starts with a vision. If we're not locked into that, might as well pack up and go home.
You're talking about three flags by 2020. Fitzroy's played in more finals than you guys.
And after 13 straight losses, the Tigers are no longer toothless. Their first win for 2010. Carmichael Hunt. Pick up Jeffrey. He does. Carlton are on their way to Sydney.
Westcott could kick a goal from here. He does. What a start. Coming to slow. He's gone. No free kick, surely.
In the final home and away game of the season, obliterating the Tigers by 113 points.
First preliminary final in 16 long years, and they have done it. They've won. The Tigers are into the prelim.
Tigers.